Good morning, Mike.
Citizen lobbyist, you're sounding pretty good.
Getting there, for sure. Except I'd need much better, and as would most of the valley, if this wretched wind would go away.
It's been interesting. 4 or 5 days, I've noticed that it's been all over the valley as well. Yes, it changes. I thought I was pretty much used to this kind of thing and could sort of toss it off. But I'm beginning to think that the wind day after day somehow is affecting me. But
I've heard that from a lot of people. You know, it seems everybody has a different recollection of when this last wind had been. Somebody indicated 2002 was a really bad year for it. I haven't seen anything official. I know my first year of living in Palmer, which is, I think, 2010 full-time, it was a pretty bad winter, but that might, and a lot of wind, but maybe that was just my getting used to it. But I think it might be one of the top winds for this long of a time.
It could be, but it's what we have now, and so moving on. We know that we're now into 2018, and for at least two of the entities we follow, the school district and the borough, the real focus is on the budget. We're into February, and we're also begun the legislative session, and so all eyes are sort of turned in that direction to see what's going to be happening with the budget, and then also doing the work locally to see what monies are necessary. You've been looking over some agendas. What do you see coming up?
Well, the only two bodies really that are having a meeting next week of any consequence is the borough for its regular assembly meeting, which is at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 6th. Speaking of budget, the city of Wasilla will start their budget process on Monday at a special meeting.
That's right.
That's when they start rolling out their budget. They usually get through it pretty quickly, it seems like. So that'll be the first day of that, since they are on a different cycle. City of Palmer, of course, we know, finished that process in December. And the school board will have a meeting next week, but they haven't published their agenda yet. Typically, theirs doesn't come out till later today. So I can talk a little bit about what I see coming up in the assembly meeting for Tuesday. That packet is servicing.
Okay.
And they're going to start with a recognition for two of their employees, Patty Sullivan and Stephen Hyman, for their work and their contribution on the Fish and Wildlife Commission. That'll start things off. They also are going to have a report on the property appraisal annual report. And this is sometimes overlooked, Mike, but it actually is a pretty important budgetary towards the budget as they work up to piece of the puzzle. It tells them what the appraisals are and what the new appraisals, what housing has gone up in price, how it's gone down, and that really kind of sets the line there for what they can fund the school district and their own operations for. So I'm going to be very interested to hear if property appraisals stayed about the same. I'm thinking maybe they stayed about the same, or if they dipped a little bit, because as everybody knows, we're in the third year of a recession.
Right.
And there are houses on the market, and they're sitting there for a while before they're being sold, but there is some movement. But we'll see how that pencils out. And that'll be an interesting one to watch. They also point to lots more money for a couple of big road projects. Mockachon School, as we know, they've done a lot of money towards making that go through and be finished and work in that subdivision. Started out a free piece of land that the borough got to put the school in, and now we're seeing that there's a lot of things that come with free, and that means building the infrastructure to get to free land. So they're going to have that go. They're also going to entertain a resolution to declare the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council inactive.
Oh, wow.
Which happens fairly often, actually. I've seen it happen a few times when there just isn't any body regulating it, or people that are stepping up wanting to lead that a council and they aren't having official meetings for an extended period of time. So we'll see how that happens.
Just a note before you move on, since Radio Free Palmer was involved in streaming a whole series of meetings because the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Road Community Council had a contentious period with basically two different groups. One group wanting to have a council and do work as some of the other councils have around in the area, and another group that said, we want to minimize this to the point where it was very difficult to hold meetings, et cetera.
High quorum.
And that's what apparently has won. For the moment, because these things come and go. And by contrast, we know that there are other community councils. I'm thinking in particular of the one up there, Glacier View, which is just doing all kinds of stuff with heavy involvement of the people that are there. And it's just a fascinating different perspective on what community councils should be or can do.
And as people move in and out, they have issues that they need to resolve or some ambition to make their community better. These things kind of come and go. So we'll see what happens on that one. Two other things I think is worth looking at, Mike. One is an ordinance that Assemblymember Kowalki is bringing forward to establish a sales tax exemption area, service area, in the Talkeetna water and service area, so that only the first $1,000 of sale is subject to the service area sales tax.
Oh, that's interesting.
This will be something to follow into. Ask our friends up in the Talkeetna area, Philip Manning with that radio station, that get some feedback on that. And this has been something that I know since the voters passed that special sales tax for their sewer and water system has been pretty contentious, and I knew he was working on something. So we'll see when that comes up what exactly that means and how much support he gets for that. And another one brought up is a new ordinance that amends and adopts various positions or provisions of borough code for term limits for all the borough boards and commissions, and it provides an exemption for reappointment in case of necessity. This was brought forward by Assemblywoman Doty, and we'll see what her reasoning is to that. And I'm guessing that, you know, it's good to have turnover in these boards, and they're not getting it with the present code. So those are the two I think will be something to look for. And we'll see what happens on those. Some of that is on the borough website now, and they'll be adding documents probably later today to get more robust details on there. They are supposed to have an executive session also, Mike, which happens normally after the meeting, and it's about potential litigation before the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission about the Alaska LNG project.
Oh, really? Whoa. Where does that come from? That's interesting.
Well, I've read a little bit about this in the paper. I'm not sure I'm completely informed in it, but it has to do, I think, with the route that has been selected, is not going to include the borough at this point, and they feel that they were excluded for not very good reasons. So I think that they are appealing the conclusion of that. So that's kind of what I see in front of that one, Mike. We don't know what's going to brew out there for the school district until we see it today. Of course, they are ongoing with their employee negotiations and have been having a lot of special meetings trying to get that ironed out. It looks like the city of Anchorage now has a offer on the table that will go to vote for their bargaining unit.
Right.
That sometimes seems that one gets settled first and ours kind of comes behind. So we'll see what happens there. City of Palmer met last week, I think, didn't they, Mike? And so we won't see them meet again for another week.
Yeah, right. And they'll be rolling along with their activities. I wanted to talk about two things, and they're somewhat related. I was I have attended what are referred to as smart communities meetings. They meet roughly quarterly, and they alternate between being in Anchorage as well as out here in the valley. This last one was at the Atwood Building in Anchorage. There were about 60 people in attendance. There were people from the municipality of Anchorage, from the state, from DOT, from MEA, from MTA, from Nate Wallace, city manager from Palmer was there, as was Mr. Moosey and Eric Wyatt, who's the IT director. A wide range of people. And the meetings have been happening for the last couple of years. And I think if I could sum it up, I can say that they, one, have been very successful. It's a very intentional group. Just to remind people, because I know that sometimes questions are raised about, well, what's this, what's happening here? You have to understand, you've got, basically the meetings are held in a place which is rent-free, and there's a small amount of food provided, and then each one of these entities is sending some pretty good people there 4 hours once every 3 months. And my impression is that the organization of this whole process has been intentional, and the purpose really is to focus on ways in which you can leverage information that is primarily location-based. So there's a lot of heavy GIS involvement. And, of course, the borough is the big player out in the valley. Their GIS department is big. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is that the borough's work spills over, because it encompasses the entire borough, to provide information for the city of Wasilla, Palmer, Houston, and all of the other areas. So what tends to happen now is they move from the early stages of talking about, well, how do we create a single portal that someone can go to get information, to do things, rather than to have to figure out where it might be in a siloed situation, or have to actually physically drive to a place. And it was also interesting that, as an aside, that Mr. Culligan, who served for 6 years on the assembly, was in attendance at that meeting as well. And the and just a couple of examples, maybe, and then if you ask me some questions, I'd be okay. The meeting had presentations at a variety of levels. So the municipality of Anchorage presented the upgrades that they have done on their portal. So if you go to, and you can do this on your mobile device or you can go on your computer, you go to the municipality of Anchorage, you'll note that there's a whole set of selections, and they're pretty easy to determine. For example, one is parks and trails. So if you're a skier in Anchorage, and many people know there are some great areas to ski, not only in town at Kincaid, for example, but down in Girdwood, you can pull up a map, and by clicking on that map, you can see when it was last groomed and who did it. So if you're wondering whether it's worthwhile to drive out to a place, there you go. They also have information regarding just about everything. For example, the April election coming up. As many listeners know, there's a mail-in ballot that's be happening in Anchorage, and you can mail in. You can do that, but there are also 12 drop boxes located around the city. So the first big question would be, where are they? Well, a click, and there you see. You have a map that shows where they are and the detail about it. Now, a lot of this, as you can see, is location-based, but it has implications way beyond that. So that, for example, if you're a developer and you're interested in looking at land, you know, here in the borough, there have been some significant improvements on being able to say, well, I'm interested in a parcel of land. There's 40 acres out there. What are all those things that I know about it? And they could be layered things like school district boundaries, easements, roadways, projected plans for development already in existence, all of that stuff. And the city of Anchorage has gone a long way, and the advantage to having someone from, say, the borough there is to be able to see what they're doing, talk to people who are actually making it happen, because very often we, I think, undervalue the work required to put something like this together. And when we're talking about assessments in particular, for example, it's kind of an interesting thing to be able to see if you're looking at housing, how old housing is, what's the overall picture of assessments, et cetera. And a lot of this can be understood better when it's graphically displayed. So in addition, this meeting, there was a presentation from Oregon. The state of Oregon is some distance ahead of the state of Alaska in providing a comprehensive approach to aggregating all of this information and making it available. And so there was a easily done, distance-delivered presentation with a gentleman in charge of that program, which is a multi-billion-dollar program in Oregon. And I think the opportunity to talk with people and ask questions and to look at how you can take something and use it in your own system is just invaluable. An incredible return on investment, my experience watching this, because these people are sophisticated users. They're not just going there because they can get out of the office by any means, but they're going to a very focused learning experience. So the next one will be in April. It's going to be out here. We'll have the date and people can observe it as well. But it, I think we're going to do a presentation. The radio station is going to do a presentation there because, like I said, there's a link to a development we've put together, which is to use video keyed to agendas to cover at the city of Palmer boards and commissions, the planning commission, economic advisory group, as well as the council meetings, so that you can be able to see the video on a live stream and have it archived to the point where you could go to the agenda. And if you wanted to look at the discussion on the budget at some point, you just click and it would go just to that place. We tested it out with the Untold Stories presentations that occurred at the Palmer Depot last Sunday. And we'll be putting up on our website later tonight the link to the video we have of that. So there were six storytellers. And if you just want to look at one, you'll see the agenda. You can click on that one. The video goes directly to that place. It's a pretty sophisticated piece. Those stories were extraordinary. There were about 120 people that were in attendance. And we broadcast it live as well as streaming it. And now we have the video up.
Great. I kind of looked for that yesterday, Mike, so thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah, this is a really very exciting project, and I've really kind of been on the peripheral watching it a little bit. And what I like about it is what I hear from the community, why aren't more people partnering? And just looking at the Anchorage website, I'm reminded that there's a lot of partnering going on here. I mean, if you just refer to the Nordic map that you talk, or the ski map that you talked to, Mike, on that website, it talks about the Nordic Ski Club interacting with the city to develop those maps. I've been following a project that they've been doing that's on this website now, Welcoming Anchorage, which is a collaboration with the Muni and the school district and some business and organizations and economic development. And it's, basically a place to start for really all your residents, but people new to the community that really, it's kind of like what I think of it is the old, when you moved into a community, they had the welcome wagon ladies that ladies, because they didn't work in those times, and went around and told you everything you needed to know about your community. And this is sort of the electronic form of that, but it's also, their intention is to be welcoming and inclusive of all nationalities, and you know, equality is the basis of it. And to have that, we get everybody on the same footing by knowing what there is to know about their community and how they voice their concerns and how they find out what's going on and how they build community from within. It's sort of a welcoming roadmap, so to speak. And it aligns with a lot of our principles at AERP with the livable communities work. So I've talked with the city, the mayor's office, about this this particular project that's embodied in those. And what I like about this whole smart communities thing is that we are working with Anchorage. We're sharing the cost of finding how to bring it into our communities by partnering with our closest partner geographically. We're not trying to compete, which I think often is in our demise because we're so completely different what we have to offer people that live in these places, but to develop a tool that's familiar to each other. And if this is the way our website ends up looking like because of the smart communities, to me, it'll be one of the best investments that the borough has made, because it makes it a lot easier for the, you know, person that's not particularly web savvy to know how to interact, to find out information in their community. And again, it's a leveraging of partnerships. And as we go into these, you know, tough physical times, we need to be able to put our resources together to develop these good projects, legacy projects, really, that spread all of our funds better and more inclusively, I think. So I'm glad you're a part of this.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. It's just to watch the development, I think. In part, it's like watching I don't know if you got up and watched the eclipse of the moon, but at any moment in time, you could look at the moon. We did. We got up 4 a.m., and you could, if you looked at a moment in time, you'd say, well, okay, I see a red moon. But what was important about that whole thing was the dynamic of the change. As it began to happen, it happened, and then it went from red back to the yellow moon that we know. And I think that's what's happening here. A click in time, and you can look and say, okay, this is where we are. But to have a sense of the movement, where you're going from doing things this way, and then a very much more efficient or attractive or more useful for the citizenry in general, whether you're in business or you're just an individual, having the resources is going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be something for all of us to watch as this vote by mail unfolds too.
Oh yeah.
There'll be a lot of benefits to that. There's going to be some hurdles on this very first one, but as you know, as we get down the road, it's all been shown again in Oregon that it saved a lot of money for municipalities and states, more voter engagement, more regular voter engagement, which is really important. And it doesn't really present any partisan advantages. So I think that is, and still protects your rights, you know, as a voter. So I think that is really going to be something to watch. I know our own borough clerk is looking at the state of Alaska, is studying that and going to be watching how this unfolds too, because that is going to be the new way that we exercise our vote. And they've done a nice job on the municipal website explaining that to people. But yeah, this is, I encourage people to go to the muni.org website and look at this, Mike, that you've explained so well, and click on some of those links there, whether it's find a better commute or on health or transportation, animal control, any of those things that you might be interested in, and just see how it's laid out and play around with this a little bit, because I can only guess it will improve, and it would be something it'd be nice to think we can have this in the borough at some point. Do you know what the timeline is if the borough adopts the format?
They're moving forward with it. It's a complex thing. I would say this: we're planning to have Eric Wyatt from the IT department at the borough in and we'll ask him to more clearly point out how it's going in the plan for the future. Well, okay. Citizen lobbyist, any last comments before we finish up here today?
Not really. Just be safe out there, and hopefully this will blow over, and we'll get on with next week and finding out what's going on in the borough for everybody, Mike.
Okay. Well, take care, and we'll be talking again next week.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Yep. Bye-bye.